Here it comes, the latest people, trends, and news on sustainable living in and around our corner of the country. Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, Spotlight on the Southwest. And now, Mrs. Green.
Hey, everybody, you are listening to Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, and we are going to put a big, amazing spotlight on the Southwest tonight. Thank you so much for joining us. Finally, I don't want that to sound like whining, but we have tried for a really long time to get these two guys on the show. They are really busy, and so am I. I'm not blaming them, but I am finally getting to interview two people from a company that is truly an outstanding leader in Arizona on many levels, not just sustainability. That's something they can certainly put their shingle out about. And I'm quite sure they are leaders nationally recognized in the country from things I've read, Golden Eagle Distributors. They are family owned. And I have to add that they were the very first winners of Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge that we put on each year. And I remember Kimberly Clement sending me a text as soon as we announced it. And she said, we are so going to nail this. And the whole family and the community got behind Golden Eagle winning Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge. And I'll never forget getting that text. So please join me in welcoming Matt Harrington, who is the Director of Sustainability, and Bill Osteen, Senior Vice President of Business Operations from Golden Eagle. So very glad to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Finally. Okay, let's get on with the show because I said half hour will fly. Talk a little bit about what Golden Eagle does and how long they've been here. And it's not everybody knows who they are, believe it or not.
Well, Golden Eagle Distributors is a family-owned beverage distributor. We cover roughly half of the state of Arizona for as a distributor of Anheuser-Busch products. We cover the entire state for a number of other beverages, some non-alcohol beverages, some wines, some liquors. So there's a lot of miles that we cover, a lot of territory. But we're basically a beverage distributor. We operate out of seven locations in the state. We have four different warehouses, about 350 employees. And actually, as Golden Eagle Distributors, next year is our 40th anniversary, but we've been around as a company longer than that, working as All American and some other companies.
Do I feel a big party coming on here for Golden Eagle? I know I'll make the list.
So yeah, I think you can be safe.
You can
say
be counting on that. Let's take it to the parking lot. I mean, that's really great. Okay, so let's go. What the focus of the show is really about a very huge decision that the company made to look for an alternative fuel. When you touched on it, Bill, I used to see the Golden Eagle truck come up in Greer, which is in the middle of nowhere, and think what kind of miles you guys have to cover so that people can have a Bud, which is, I'm going to put a plug in for Bud because it's my show. Right. So tell me about what went into the decision in terms of, was it cost? Was it the environment? What were you looking at when you decided we've got to make a shift here?
Well, it was a combination of a lot of things. About between 3 and 4 years ago, we really started taking a hard look at our fuel bills, which were rising steadily, as everybody's fuel bills were. We looked at the type of fuel we were using. Diesel fuel it wasn't as eco-friendly as we wanted to be. As a American locally owned company, we were looking at the dependence on foreign oil,
right,
and we weren't real comfortable with that. So it really led us to looking at a number of alternative fuels. And really to start down this path, about 3.5 years ago, Chris Clements and I visited a distributor, another Anheuser-Busch distributor in Missouri, who had converted their fleet to run on 100% vegetable oil. And it was a very interesting trip. Our truck provider, Ryder, went with us. I think they had a lot of apprehension about their trucks running on vegetable oil and the fact that some of the engine manufacturers probably wouldn't warrant them. But still, it was very enlightening, one, in that what great entrepreneurs those distributors in Missouri were by developing this. and they were running their fleet 100% on vegetable oil that they picked up from their accounts, brought in, refined, and then ran in their trucks. It just took us that two-day trip to decide, you know, vegetable oil's not for us, but that's when we really started looking at propane, at hybrids, electric vehicles, at LNG and CNG, and finally decided that CNG was the way we wanted to go.
And a lot went into the decision. I mean, just the research alone part, I think in my notes it said it took about 2 years.
In fact, I just met earlier today with Chris Clements, and we were talking about some of the things in our past. And one of the things was the year and a half or so, almost 2 years that it took to kind of get this implemented. I think there's a lot of people that look at what we did and they say, well, that just fell in place. And it's, it fell in place over a year and a half.
I am not one of the ones that says that. It's a lot. Yeah,
A lot that went into it. So, but it, you know, like most of these, it was worth it. That's the main thing.
It was really worth it. And you can say that now. Yeah. So let's talk about some of the partnerships that you developed, because as far as I know, and I have been following the story from the beginning because Mrs. Green has been around since you did it. What were some of the critical partnerships without, well, you really couldn't have done it without them. I think that's fair that you in your presentations would say that.
Yeah. And the first partner that really made a lot of this possible would be Ryder. Ryder has been our truck provider for over 40 years now. And they've been the kind of partner that if there's something we were interested in, they wanted to hear about it and they wanted to try to help us achieve it. So, you know, just like I mentioned, they went with us on that trip to Missouri to look at something they really weren't interested in. And they said when it was over, we're sure glad you didn't decide on that.
Because that would give us pause.
But they're the kind of partner that once they found out that CNG was the direction for us, they were going to do absolutely everything they could possibly do to help us get there. So they made it that was the easiest part, I think, in terms of they made it easy for us to get the trucks at a kind of a rate that we needed it to be. The other partners of Clean Cities.
Clean Cities Coalition, yeah. And Colleen Crown and Shield.
Right. We absolutely, it would have been 10 times more difficult without Colleen and Clean Cities, because she just gave us so much information, so many contacts of people to talk with, and was just a wealth of information on different programs that were out there and again, different suppliers for us to talk with. Southwest Gas on the local level here
right.
in Tucson and in Casa Grande were very instrumental in making sure that we got the supply of natural gas we needed at our properties for to run the stations that we have. And Joe Varela and the folks at Southwest Gas were just great to work with. And then last but not least, Trillium CNG, who is the station provider. They provided the equipment for both Tucson and Casa Grande, and the thing that set Trillium apart from the four or five other station companies that we talked with was they were really interested in what we wanted to do, and they listened to what we wanted to do. And there were some of the other companies, it was more they wanted us to do what they wanted to do, and Trillium was...
They wanted to sell you something as opposed to developing a partnership, which is really different.
That's one of the nice things about Ryder, too, because they were with us through the whole process, and so they kind of learned as we learned about CNG. Even to this day, I mean, as we look to evolve some different vehicles to CNG, they're working with us to try to best maximize what we have and what we can move forward to.
And Matt, that's a good point, because they're the company that you lease your vehicles from. So they really had to come to the party.
Yeah,
right?
We've been with Ryder 40 plus years. Yes. So they've been a
major
partner.
So it had to happen. And were you a part of this all along the way, Matt? Because I know you've been there for a while.
Yeah, you know, I've been with Golden Eagle for 8 plus years. I kind of jumped in on this side of this job right as we started construction on Tucson CNG station. So it's been a nice transition from where I was at to the CNG side of the world. And actually, now that we're moving to Casa Grande, we just opened our station a couple weeks ago in Casa Grande, which is open to the public as well as Tucson. So we've started those two stations, and you know, obviously with the additional branches we have throughout Arizona, we're looking to move there as well.
And let's talk about, other than being good partners in terms of talking with you and developing this partnership, why did you pick Trillium? Was that really the go-home issue, that they really said, okay, we want to make this work, what do we have to do together?
Yeah. The first person who came here from Trillium, and back then it was Pinnacle, Drew Diggins, came here from Midland. He listened to what we wanted to do. He looked around our property. He took a look at our fleet, and he saw the potential, I think, that that we could make, not only with just our own fleet, but here in Tucson and in Casa Grande with public access stations. So, you know, we had his ear early on. Not long after that, I went to Midland myself to visit their shop. I wanted to see how it was made. All of their compressors, all of the station equipment, how they assembled it all there in Midland. And I think it just, as the relationship started forming, they saw we were serious and we were for real about it, and they wanted to help us achieve our goals. And you know, when those dynamics start falling into place, then things start happening.
So Tucson is a hub for you. I mean, it's where the national headquarters are. It's where a lot of trucks come in and fuel up, that Golden Eagle trucks. And you also made a decision to have public access so people can go and get their car or their vehicles, fill it up, and it's fast fill. I know a lot with compressed right. natural gas, you have to, if you have it in your home, it's an overnight fill, go to sleep and your car's full. Expand on that a little bit for the fast fill.
Yeah, the fast fill, I mean, our trucks on average, it takes anywhere 6 to 8 minutes to fill.
Yeah, they can't be sitting there for
right.
an hour.
And we in Tucson right now, we have 22 trucks that are running on CNG. Casa Grande has 5 right now. So with that type of volume, and our trucks do run day and night, so we do have a different operation than maybe a lot of others in the state. But with that kind of schedule, we need that fast fill to get the guys in and out. And another nice thing about what Ryder does is they actually help us fill our trucks. So when they're at our yard, they're doing our maintenance, they're actually filling the trucks up a couple of days a week, which really helps out on, you know, time saving for our drivers.
And one of the things I think about is the direction that we would like to see the country go is everybody less dependency on foreign oil. That's like, if you're not, like, what's wrong with you is what I would say. Why are we looking at more alternative fuels? So Casa Grande, in the context of where it is geographically, for people that listen from around the country, it's between Tucson and Phoenix. You also have a major distribution site right. there. What other partners? Is there any other impetus for you building and putting the infrastructure in for Casa Grande?
Well, absolutely. And Frito-Lay, which has a cooking plant located in Casa Grande, was instrumental in helping us get that station established, because they have committed to purchasing fuel for their transfer trucks that haul chips from Casa Grande to San Diego to Los Angeles and, you know, all over the Southwest. They really helped us make that station happen. That particular station, we're located very closely to a Walmart distribution center that gets literally 200 trucks a day in. So we think there's a lot of potential there. This is the first and only station so far in Casa Grande. So it was an important addition, I think, economically for that particular area. It's located at, Casa Grande is located at the intersection of I-10, I-8. It's on rail. It's
really a hub. It's a big cross street.
and we're looking to great things in the future from that particular site, and that's going to be a good station. Again, just to point out, that station, the station in Tucson, they're both open 24/7. They're both public access. If you have a CNG vehicle and a credit card, you can pull in and buy fuel.
And that's really good to know. Talk about, you had this very huge task of planning and making the decision and 2 years of research. It cracks me up that somebody ever even thought things just fell into place for you, because like nothing this big falls into place. But what about your how, I don't want to say happy, that's really a little bit too soft, but what have been some of the hardcore, you know, the return on investments in terms of making this decision and saving on fuel, not to mention your contribution to the environment because it is so much cleaner burning?
Well, you know, in terms of reward to us, besides the fact that CNG it's produces 95% less particulate matter, 80% less nitrogen oxide, and a 23% reduction in greenhouse gases, it saved us a lot of money on fuel. When you compare to diesel, which in this area has been in the $4 per gallon range, a little bit under that lately, but I see it going back over $4. It's on that particular trend right now, at least. The public price at our station right now today for CNG is $2.34. So you can see
that's like back in the dark ages prices.
Yeah, it's like 40-45% less cost than diesel.
But repeat the 95%.
Right, 95% less particulate matter compared to diesel. So it really is so much cleaner burning. And, you know, one of the things that's really difficult to measure, but all of the comments that we've received from customers, from people that our drivers encounter in parking lots at a convenience store when they're unloading product, they see our vehicle that says clean and green on it, that says CNG, and people come up and ask questions, what is this? What's CNG? What's clean and green here?
It creates conversation.
Yeah, about
that's
a Budweiser truck, and it's like
a lot.
Yeah,
a real lot. So, Matt, as director of sustainability, you're in touch, I'm sure, with a lot of the drivers. You interface with them, and I'm sure, Bill, with your job, you do. But, Matt, what do they say about it? Do they like it? Are they excited, or do they say, "Oh my gosh, we have to go to this filling station,
well,
and we can't get diesel next door"? And
yeah, I mean, there's a couple of things. I mean, when we first started the CNG trucks in Tucson, you know, they were maybe a little hesitant. This is something brand new to them, is new to us as well, but we're not the ones, you know, in the trucks every day driving.
We were all holding our breath.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a big deal.
Well, it was big. And, you know, again, it took its time, and we were talked a lot about it, you know, CNG coming to Tucson and throughout the state. So actually, once we, you know, got it up and running, it really took the drivers maybe about a week or two to get adjusted to
Amazing.
These new tractors that they're driving, as far as figuring out the power. But really, since then, the outcome has been, you know, the drivers love it. For one thing, it's a new truck. So it's clean inside.
So
it's got the MP3 player. So they're you know, really comfortable inside. And the fact that Ryder is helping us with the, you know, filling the trucks, it saves them time, again, when they're coming in and checking in. But our guys have really got accustomed to it and really have positive things to say. And, you know, the same thing really went with Casa Grande as well. The trucks that we had in Casa Grande were actually delivered before the station was built. So we ended up having to transport CNG from Tucson to Casa Grande to kind of keep their five trucks up and running until the station was built. So
one of the things I noticed in terms of, like, to me, that's kudos to the corporate culture of the Golden Eagle Distributors. I mean, the things don't seem to me top down. They seem to me there's a lot. There's always a party going on at Golden Eagle. There's lots of really good, warm feelings I get about that. Let's just be honest, because I've been invited to.
Well, we have a good time there.
You have a good time there, and I love it. And it's the employees. You can't fake that. You can't fake happiness when somebody comes in. But in terms of the message to the state of Arizona, one of the things that impressed me is when you opened the Trillium Station open to the public and you had the biggest green ribbon I have ever seen in my life, you got some real juice there. I'm just going to say that. You really did. You had the head of the Arizona State Chamber of Commerce, who I don't see at a lot of events in Tucson. That's not anything being a downer about it. You had elected officials. You had major corporate present, you know, representatives. You had the mayor. Do you think it's helping to spread the message in terms of a ripple effect to other corporations? Because it really does matter, and you are saving money.
Well, it has in very visible ways that we've been visited by a number of companies, both locally and at a national level, who have come to see what it is we're doing, to see our trucks, to see our station, to ask questions. some governmental entities. Pima County right now is looking at their own program. They've met with us three or four different times. A couple of the large educational institutions around the state, they're all considering expansion into compressed natural gas, and they're coming to us to ask the questions on how we did it. Similar distributors, Budweiser, Miller Beer distributors, Coca-Cola distributors, they're all calling us asking questions. And I think probably the biggest single topic at the most recent event called BevOps, which is where beverage operation people meet once a year and talk about
that's
topics.
Probably a lot of fun too.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but compressed natural gas was like the single biggest topic at this national event.
And did you guys feel really proud of that? I hope you did.
There's some pride attached.
I mean, there should be. It's like, don't be humble. It's a really great thing, not just for Golden Eagle, but for the planet, which is the place I'm coming from. It's like, you're saving the atmosphere, CO2 emissions. We're in trouble, folks.
Yeah.
Okay. The nice thing, I mean, with those events as well, is when they're talking about it, a lot of these companies maybe have one or two vehicles that are, they have converted to CNG. It's nice for us to say, you know, we converted our whole fleet.
That's huge.
Our delivery fleet.
And we're working on our small vehicle fleet too. There's a company here in town now that are doing conversion CNG conversions on small vehicles, the Transit Connects, the delivery vans, pickup trucks, and they're doing it right here in Tucson. And we've had some initial talks with them, and I think we're really on the verge of starting to convert our entire small fleet towards natural gas as well.
So I'd like to ask both of you your opinions, and if they differ, that's okay, because we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. What about your opinions on the supply of compressed natural gas? I mean, do we have enough for a really long time? And if the demand increases, I mean, I'm not worried about it in my lifetime, trust me, because I know there's a lot of compressed natural gas out there. But what's your read from your different perspectives on the supply?
Well, from everything I've gathered, as you kind of characterized, there's enough for a really long time, and that's the supply that we know about. There's also a lot of supply out there that's just now being discovered. Some even here in Arizona, where there's a potential that there could be natural gas wells here in Arizona to supply local gas, which would even drive that cost down even more significantly. But what I'm confident in is it's an American sourced product that will last a long time. And I know in the 100 years or 100 year plus that they're projecting right now, in that period of time, another clean technology is going to come out. 100 years from now, I'm hoping there's something better than CNG out there, whether it's hydrogen, whether, you know, whatever the source is. I think we have to be industrious enough and open enough to keep exploration, even though CNG is a good thing. It's a good thing for us here today. I think there'll be something else out there for my grandchildren and for my great-grandchildren.
And see, to me, that's the reflection of the Golden Eagle spirit, where you think it's great, but you're looking at the greater good for the planet. Matt, what's your read?
You know, with that being said, I mean, we didn't want, you know, if it's going to be around or if there's enough to hold us back. When, you know, Bill and Chris went out to research the different
alternative. Like, what can we do now?
Yeah, alternative fuels, this is an option, and this is, we feel, the best option for us as a company. So again, we went full force in it, and we'll continue to look at other sources, you know, as they come up. But for the time being, this is
there may be something better 10 years from now.
Yeah,
let's hope. Let's hope. Yeah.
We have 10-year leases, so there we go.
Yeah.
So that's a perfect number, really. And I hope I will be around then, and we'll do a follow-up show. It's a really good idea, a good plan. Were there any big bumps that you'd like to share that were like you took a deep breath and said, oh my gosh, how are we going to get around this one? I know it did not just fall into place, but in terms of, wow, this is one we didn't see coming, that then you did overcome, which is for other people to hear that listen to the show, there will be bumps. You remember any big bumps?
Well, I mean, with us, a lot of it was timing. You know, with us leasing our vehicles through Ryder,
right.
You know, we have to time ordering these trucks, tractors in, and, you know, having the fuel actually there to run the trucks. So that was, you know, a little bit of a guessing game as far as getting the stations up and running. Again, I mentioned Casa Grande, we had our trucks really a year ago. And so we've been doing this, and the timing wise may have been a larger gap than we would have liked, but we were able to overcome that with, you know, the help of Trillium and providing a transport kind of method of fueling our vehicles. And, you know, the other thing, just talking about our small fleet, because we do have branches in Flagstaff, Buckeye, it's just the infrastructure. You know, where are these trucks going to fuel up if they're going on a longer distance route?
And some people, like, I'm from New Jersey. If you're from New Jersey, you don't understand the vast distances that you can drive around in Arizona. Oh, yeah. And only see cows or yeah. bushes, and not even cows. I mean, it's really big, vast distances. What about the Casa Grande station is open to the public, but there's a big grand opening on August 22nd, in case people want to drive by. It's 8:30 in the morning, I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it is 8:30.
But we can find out from Mrs. Green's World, because I'll be, right. I mean, I will definitely be
we'll
there.
Be there.
I'm actually going up the road after that to a clean tech conference that's going to be, it's a luncheon that's in Phoenix. But I think you're right. There's the new technology that we can all hope for and get excited about. And for you and me, it's our grandchildren. Matt, yeah, for you, it's your children.
Well, you know, the other thing, I was in Phoenix a few weeks ago at a Clean Cities meeting up there, and really you can see CNG taking off. Even in their transit system up in Phoenix. So you can really see this kind of momentum building for the CNG side of it. But
and the Clean Cities Network is so important because they do cross-pollinate. I've had Colleen on my show quite a bit. I go to many of the coalition meetings as I can. But having a partner like that that really can activate the matrix of connections, I'm sure helps a lot for anybody that's looking at doing it. Okay, what's in the crystal ball for Golden Eagle? I mean, if you are going to, are you even thinking about putting in another spot? Because I think of the vast geographical spread of where you go. And if you had to put a dot on the map, where's it going to be? Or are you talking about that yet?
Well, yeah, actually, kind of with equal interest, we're looking in Buckeye and Flagstaff, both of which we have branches there and warehouses in those areas. We're looking for partners in those areas who may be interested in converting some vehicles as well. Again, there has to be a critical mass of gallonage that we're going to use to make it worthwhile of putting in a station. But I really think within a couple of years, maybe sooner, you could see a station in either or both of Buckeye and Flagstaff. Other than that, I mean, there are many, many areas that we're looking in terms of environmental improvements for our business. We're looking at solar. We're looking at what things we can do with water. We've done a number of things with our lighting that has saved a lot of power and some money. So we're looking in every area that you can possibly
look. You just don't win Arizona's Greenest Workplace Challenge by having CNG trucks. I mean, shameless promotion. But there are so many things that you do in your commitment to sustainability. I say this to people, you're green from the inside out. It wasn't one big splash of what you did. You live it there. And I mean, I see it when I go to the building and everything else that you're trying to do. I like to have a call to action. It's like we just got the 2-minute warning, which is now probably 1-minute warning. How can people stay connected? Like when I was in Flagstaff, I saw the big truck, so that's exciting. But for people that are listening, how can they stay connected or learn more about what you're doing as a company and as leaders in sustainability for the country?
Well, I mean, with us, like anything, we are trying to better ourselves. Bill and I do numerous trips to other wholesalers, distributors. Not even for, you know, CNG, but if it's for building, for warehouse, or for different ideas that we may be able to capture and, you know, bring to Arizona. California's got a lot of things going on that we try to kind of take a lesson from.
Real, you guys are great. And you can follow you on Facebook for
right.
the fun
follow
factor.
Us on Facebook.
Let's not forget the fun factor. We got 30 seconds. Thanks again to our guests, Matt Harrington, Director of Sustainability, and Bill Osteen, Senior Vice President of Business Operations for Golden Eagle Distributors. Check them out, and just remember, drink bud. I can say that. Thanks for being
Thank
a part
you.
Of
Thank
Down
you.
To Earth with Mrs. Green and Spotlight on the Southwest. Proud to know you guys.